morning, Your Honors. My name is Herman Marino. I'm here on behalf...
We're moving into the animal phase of the morning's
equestrian phase of the day. Yeah,
the next case has to do with llamas.
Right, so sort of similar.
We know that. You might not.
Yeah,
that's the point.
You're not in on the...
secrets.
Okay. I represent the plaintiff appellant, Lisa Williamson. She had a multiple count complaint. Two of the counts were count one for arrest and raised a 1983 claim, and the other count was an equal protection claim. They were dismissed under on a motion to dismiss under 12b-6. We're asking that the court reverse the dismissal of both counts that were against the Lake County Sheriff and the two deputies, based upon the fact that the court went beyond the standards for dismissal of a complaint under 12b-6 under both counts. Specifically, the court's opinion in Juris, which was a motion for summary judgment case, it wasn't a 12b-6 case, clearly indicated that the standard to be applied in determining whether the police officer acted appropriately in executing in obtaining the arrest warrant was whether or not a reasonably prudent police officer would have done the same thing, knowing the facts that that police officer knew. And as it relates to Lisa Williamson, our argument is that no reasonably prudent police officer would have charged Lisa Williamson with the crime of theft of the horse because she did not have possession of the horse, and because neither she nor her husband, who had possession of the horse, was asserting had engaged in any act to permanently deprive the actual owner, Ms. Schroeder.
That's not exactly...
The investigative reports of the deputies indicate that Mrs. Williamson made certain statements to them that suggest that she herself had some involvement in possession of the horse and wouldn't return the horse. I can go through those statements.
Yeah, one is, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Judge.
No.
one is by the first deputy, which is Detective Finella, who claims that he had a conversation with her in which she made reference to the fact that payment had to be made for the barn fees. The barn was owned and operated by the husband under...
Yeah. No, but, I mean, she doesn't deny that she spoke with them and...
And
in their written reports, they say that she said things like money was owed to them. The horse had been at their property for quite some time, and that the owner owed them money. Another statement was that they had a lien on the horse, and that she would not return the horse, and that Schrader had actually brought the horse to her property for her to sell. I mean, that's pretty damning.
Assuming that that's what she said. Those are their investigative reports, and she denies that in the allegations in her amended complaint. So the issue that I'm presenting is, under 12b-6, I didn't have to then submit her affidavit contradicting their claims. All I had to do was rest on the allegations in the complaint.
Is she saying that the police officers were lying about her conversation?
No, they weren't lying. They were mischaracterizing the nature of what her statements were.
Direct me to the specific paragraphs then.
Sure.
In the complaint, please.
In paragraphs 20 through 25, she specifically states that she had nothing to do with the either possession of the horse or the creation of the preparation and filing of the stable keeper's lien.
Okay, that's different from saying the police officers lied.
There's no specific allegation in the amended complaint saying that they lied in their reports.
Okay, and presumably she would be in a position to make such an allegation about their conversations with her, correct?
Right, and if this were a motion for summary judgment, we would have submitted such an affidavit or testimony.
Wait a second. Are you saying Williamson would testify that the officers lied about their conversations with her in the report? I don't see that in the contradiction. I mean, she's disagreeing with them.
Correct.
In 20 through 25.
Correct.
But to say they lied about what she told them.
She would say that she never used the expression that this is my horse, this is our horse, you owe us money. She was her recounting of the conversation would be that she was relating to them what her husband was owed.
Okay.
But she's obviously, very knowledgeable about the business. This isn't a large business. She's involved in it. Wouldn't it be logical or natural for the police officers to assume that she and her husband are both involved with the horse?
No.
No?
No. And even if it were logical to assume that, what was she charged with? She was charged with theft of a horse. The statutory definition of theft is that you are seeking to take possession or control of the horse to permanently deprive the owner of its use.
Actually, that's not entirely clear to me.
Okay.
I'm looking at, is it 16-1A1? Which I don't see anything about permanently deprive. I just see a person commits theft when she knowingly obtains or exerts unauthorized control over property of the owner. Now, there are two issues, permanent versus temporary.
Correct.
And obtain versus exert unauthorized control. If your argument is there's no indication that Mrs. Williamson obtained unauthorized control in the original possession, I agree with you.
Okay.
But what the police reports say, even if this wound up being an idiotic prosecution, which I would concede here, okay, and you may well have state court remedies, but if it's enough simply to exert unauthorized control, when she says we're not going to return the horse until our fees are paid, why isn't that enough? Why isn't it enough for the officers just to report this information to the judge and let the judge decide if there's probable cause?
Well, assuming they did that. But the answer to your question is that I would just repeat to you what Judge Foreman said when he dismissed the charges, which is that all that the owner had to do was to pay the board bill that was owed, and therefore...
The lien doesn't authorize you to keep the animal, does it?
Yes, it does. The lien act...
The sheriff that was supposed to possess the animal.
If I may, Judge, the lien act was amended January 1 of 2012 to codify the case law that was in existence at the time that this act occurred. And what subparagraph C of the new act says is that once you have filed and recorded and served your lien, you have the right to maintain possession of the horse subject to...
Has she done that? Filed a...
Yes, it was filed on July 2 of 2007. She didn't. He did because he and his company had the horse. And what she was relating, Judge Rovner, to the officer was that, from what she tells me, that the husband was owed and his company was owed the money. And if that's all she's saying, then by definition, she can't be charged with theft because she's not permanently depriving anyone of anything.
But she's using words like them,
them and us.
Yeah, them, right. Us, there, she. She's pretty... Definitive.
Assuming that those are accurate statements, that's correct. But I never got to the point of being able to refute that because I was in a 12B6 situation, not in a motion for summary judgment. And all of the cases that are before you that have been cited in the briefs, with the exception of the Flying J versus City of New Haven case, are all summary judgment or after full-blown trials. And therefore, I think that the proper, if this were a motion for summary judgment case or after a trial and the facts were as they're presented to you, then I think that we wouldn't be here because there would be no basis for appeal. But this being a 12B6 case takes it into a different context.
You know, Mr. Marino, our case law is pretty clear that we can look at attachments to complaints and documents that are referred to in complaints like this. And I guess I've got a twofold question. To go back to something I mentioned earlier. One is, I think our case law pretty clearly establishes the police officers can rely on what Schroeder and her sidekick, whose name I've forgotten.
Kappesen,
told them factually. No apparent reason to disbelieve them, although one might hope officers would be a little more skeptical about such things when they're being brought into a commercial dispute. And then, but as far as the law goes, we've got information presented to a judge who issues an arrest warrant. Why isn't that enough?
Because if they had presented to the judge the existence, filing, recording, and service of the lien,
didn't the judge get the reports?
Not the, that I don't know.
What's this lien statute you're talking about? I don't see it.
It is the Illinois Stablekeepers Lien Act.
I'll put it in your table of authorities.
I thought I did, Judge. It's 770 ILCS 770 ILCS 40/49, which was recently amended on January 1, 2012. And what the Lien Act and the cases underneath it state is that if you are an innkeeper and you have and you are owed board fees for the holding and maintaining and care of the horse, you file a lien, you retain possession. The only person that can grab possession.
Now you did cite, you did put it in your table of.
Yes.
Except you didn't cite to where you actually discuss it on pages 14 and 15. That's your whole discussion.
No, I apologize for that, Judge.
Okay.
My red light is on, so unless there were any other questions, I was going to hold back.
So were the police aware of the lien? Did she mention the lien to
them? Yes, because Detective Sittig, in pages A-75 and A-76 of the appendix, acknowledged receipt of the lien. And both detectives at the criminal trial acknowledged that they had the lien before they took the case, before they executed the warrant.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Marino. So, Mr. Jessica?
May it please the Court, Daniel Jessica on behalf of the Lake County Sheriff and Deputy Sittig and Finella. Responding to some of the questions and some of the issues, there are no allegations in the complaint that anything contained in the police reports inaccurately reflects what the officers were told.
But what about the lien? Why did they think it was stolen if there was a filed lien which permitted the Williamsons to keep the horse until they were paid boarding fee?
Let's look at that. The horse, according to the complaint, was delivered to the Williamson stables April 2007. All of May, all of June, no invoices, no lien, no nothing. July 1st, after Kappesen and Schroeder complain to the officers, the officer Finella goes out to the site. It's not until the following day, July 2nd, that the lien is prepared and filed. So from the officer's perspective, it is a little bit suspect. They have two witnesses who are giving written and oral statements saying there was no agreement to board the horse over there. And then they have the owner, after the investigation started, after the officers are on site.
Did the officers tell the judge about the lien?
I actually do not know, Your Honor.
Isn't that kind of important?
I believe that once the two witnesses, with their reports, who it was reasonable to believe were telling the truth, probable cause existed, and there was not necessarily, and it would not invalidate the search warrant if that particular
arrest
piece of information had not been shared with the judge, would be my position.
Arrest warrant? Well, let me put it this way.
Arrest warrant.
Your sheriff's deputies are getting themselves right in the middle of an ordinary contractual dispute, right?
I would concede that, Your Honor.
And seem to have taken upon themselves the responsibility of adjudicating that dispute by deciding who was telling the truth and who wasn't. And I got to tell you, if I were a judge presented with this request for an arrest warrant, I'd sure want to know that the person with the possession of the horse was in fact claiming a legal right to that possession. It's not the filing a lien is not the usual act of a thief.
I would point out that that Stablekeepers Lien Act, which was referenced as being amended in January of this year, prior to January of this year, it didn't say anything about the lien holder having a right to retain possession of the
horse.
What
about the case law?
Not that I'm aware of, it gave the owner the right to retain possession. It said the statute said they have a lien in it. But I didn't see any case law that specifically granted them the right to retain possession of it. Maybe it's there. I can't say that it isn't, but I didn't see it.
Now in April, so they took possession of the horse, the Williamsons. This is April 2007?
April of 2007. The horse was delivered to the Williamsons.
July, they hadn't been paid anything?
They hadn't even issued any invoice or prepared any lien. So, no, the Williamsons, to my understanding, had not been paid anything for that over two-month time frame.
Was something that the Williamsons could complain about. They certainly were entitled to a boarding fee. They're feeding the creature.
And the officers, when they went out, did say, is there some written agreement for the boarding of this horse?
They don't need a written agreement, for goodness sake. They're not boarding the animal for free. Look, she was supposed to get what? If they sold it for $30,000, the Williamsons would get $3,000 commission, right?
I'm not sure what the arrangement might have been.
Right.
I mean, the allegation is that...
Forget it. So, look, that horse will cost... The horse might cost $1,000 a month to feed and take care of.
At least.
So clearly they have to be charging the owners. They're not going to take care of this horse free of charge indefinitely.
Well, the position...
Looking for a buyer, that doesn't make any
sense. The written and oral complaints that were made to the deputies were, we've been trying to get this horse back. We allowed them to try it out for a few days, but we were supposed to get it back, and they keep giving us the runaround and aren't returning it. So from the officer's standpoint,
well,
this was a horse that had been there for 2 months.
The horse is that they want us to sell the horse, so we have to show it to different people and so on. We have to retain possession of it, but they're not paying us for, you know, our expenses in taking care of the horse. That's the quarrel.
Bear in mind,
it doesn't seem like criminal matter.
Well, the crux of the allegation, paragraph 31 out of the complaint, is that Schroeder and Kappeson concocted a false story to tell the deputies. And that's what they did. And so is it surprising that the officers believed that concocted false story? I don't think
so,
Your Honor.
This is small-town policing.
I mean, this is...
There are several arguments about whether there's probable cause to believe that there was a theft of the horse. As Judge Hamilton pointed out, not only taking possession of the horse, but you commit the act of theft if you exert unauthorized control. And from the perspective of the officers... Lisa Williamson was representing over the phone, we're not going to be returning the horse to you. And Kappeson and Schroeder were representing to the officers that there was no written agreement or arrangement. So from the officer's perspective, Lisa was exerting unauthorized control sufficient to support probable cause for theft. As to the issue of permanent deprivation...
Doesn't that sound awfully foolish, though? The officer, I mean, this is a civil matter, right? You've got people saying we had a contract with each other. Do people in this county, if there's a dispute between a garage and a car owner, does somebody get arrested?
Well, Your Honor, I would say there are many, many he said, she said situations, domestic violence, other types of situations, where people do get arrested based
domestic
on the representation.
Domestic violence has its own dimensions to it. Violent crimes do. Where you're talking about what is clearly a relationship that started on a voluntary basis. The police get involved when there's an allegation of a breach of contract?
Your Honor, did they consult our office before they did this? No. I will concede in hindsight it doesn't look like the
best. Surely they have better priorities.
I would concede that, Your Honor. But the question.
They're underworked rural police, right?
The question, Your Honor, is really whether.
They're excited. They've got a horse there.
Is whether there is.
Remember, horse thieves were hanged in the West, you know? This is
some people
stuff.
Do refer to Lake County as the Wild West, so.
Okay, it's probably the biggest thing that happened to the sheriff's office in Europe.
The only thing I would add is, in terms of some argument that this is not proper because this is a motion to dismiss, not a motion for summary judgment, a few things. Every criminal investigation involves some competing testimony about what happened or what didn't happen. If you could defeat probable cause simply by saying, well, the Williamstons didn't agree that that horse didn't belong to them or they didn't have a lien on it, I would suggest that, you know, every time somebody was acquitted of a criminal offense, they'd have a false arrest claim.
You can raise an issue. You can raise an issue by saying that the police officers lied to obtain an arrest warrant.
That's not an allegation of the complaint.
Let me ask you about paragraph 107 of the complaint. Which says, in his testimony at the criminal trial, defendant officer Sittig admitted that he had no evidence that Lisa Williamson had any involvement with the Lance Williamson stables in connection with its possession of the horse and its efforts to sell the horse.
1 year later, after the arrest, the officers asked on the stand, what personal information do you have, not hearsay of what the complainants told you, what personal information do you have a year later as to what her role in this all was? So the officer, I think probably truthfully, said, I don't have any personal information of her involvement, but Kappeson and Schroeder, a year ago, filed a written complaint, orally told me. So is that enough for the officers to rely on at the time of making the arrest?
Wait just a second, okay? What you're doing is elaborating on the basis of your recollection of the transcript, right?
I haven't even read the transcript. I'm just saying it's a year later.
Well, doesn't that sound like a factual issue that would need to be addressed at something beyond a motion to dismiss stage?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because the only question is not what they knew or what they testified to at trial, what they had in front of them and what they knew at the time. And the extraordinary thing about this case is that we know both sides of the story in the context of a motion to dismiss, because they chose to attach the written complaints of Kappeson and Schroeder, and they chose to attach.
Well, that seems to suggest that there's a conflict between Sittig's report and his testimony, right?
And my response is not necessarily, because, as you can see, he was relying on the statements of Kappeson and Schroeder at the time of the arrest. At the time of trial, you and I would recognize that he couldn't simply testify as to what a complainant had told him. That wouldn't be admissible.
But in his report, he says Williamson told him she was involved, right?
In his report, he said he had a conversation with Williamson, and Williamson said, we're not going to be, we've got a lien on the horse, we're not going to be returning the horse. That's what
Okay, so reconcile that with the allegation that he testified he had no evidence that Lisa Williamson had any involvement with the Lance Williams stables in connection with its possession of the horse and its efforts to sell the horse.
Again, Lisa's comments at the time, a year ago, certainly gave the impression that she was representing the Williamson stables and purporting to exert control over the horse, but I don't believe that that particular statement is misconstrued if at the time of trial he didn't testify to that conversation.
Well, neither you nor I knows what he actually said at trial, do we?
I do not know, Your Honor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Jessica. Mr. Marino, do you have anything further?
Just briefly, there was a question raised as to whether the case law for the statute prior to the change on January 1, 2012 permitted the barn owner to hold the horse once the lien is filed, and the answer is yes. And those cases are Swanson versus Smith, 185 Ill App 440, it's a 1914 case, and Tumalty, Tumalty Parker.
What was that for? 185 Ill App 440. 440?
Yes.
Okay. What was the second one?
The other second one was Tumalty, T-U-M-A-L-T-Y v. Parker, 100 Ill App, 382. And they are in Section 5 of the plaintiff's appendix on appeal. Just briefly, Your Honor, I would indicate that I was the one who conducted the defense at the criminal trial. And that was why the allegations 105 through 107 were put in the complaint. And it wasn't simply a matter of defendant of Officer Sittig and Officer Fenella stating that they relied upon what they were told by Kappeson and Schroeder. I asked them at the trial the specific question. What evidence did you have at the time that you arrested Lisa Williamson that she had any involvement in the possession of the horse or in the Lance Williamson stables? And they said they had no such evidence. I further inquired on what they did with the lien once it was served on them, and they said that they did absolutely nothing. Consequently, it's not simply a matter of asking you to take into account testimony that occurred a year after the arrest, because they are recounting under oath in front of Judge Foreman at the criminal trial what their knowledge was at the time that they authorized the arrest warrant and executed on the arrest warrant. And my final comment is that with respect to the actual filing of the lien, I know that Judge Dara, in his opinion, said that, well, if you allow this complaint to go forward, that anyone could just avoid prosecution through the filing of the lien. And I dispute that, because the filing of the lien would possibly result in the person who filed the lien being charged with filing a fraudulent lien. But as it relates to Lisa Williamson, counsel said that her statement to Detective Sittig said that we're not going to return the horse to you. What she allegedly said was, in his report, we are not going to return the horse to you because our barn bill hasn't been paid. Now, if you was even assuming that you believe that that's what she told Detective Sittig, there is no basis to conclude that there was an intent to permanently deprive the owner of possession of the horse. All the owner had to do was pay their bill. I have nothing further unless there are any questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.
Marino
and Mr. Jessica.